You know, is it always the work of an evil spirit when anything's bad? Well, man's spirit without God's spirit is already corrupt. The spirit of man is corrupt. In the flesh, it becomes corrupt, it becomes hardened, it becomes affected by all the experiences of life. We become deceitful and sneaky and wicked in our hearts. So, in many cases, it's not necessary to like add a supernatural spirit. And really, the idea of life, they call it the spark of life. Life itself, like the idea of like the power that is life, that animates us. They look at the biology and the spark of consciousness, but they call it a spark because they don't have another name for it. Because itself is something supernatural. We can observe the phenomenon of consciousness, but we can't put consciousness in a jar. We can't put a mind in a jar. We can put a brain in a jar, but we can't put thoughts in a jar. Eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. A lot of people think eternal damnation is eternal torture. No, it is the damnation of eternity. Damnation is judgment. The judgment that is eternal. And what is the eternal judgment of God? Death. Death. I set before you life and death. God has the way of eternal life and the way of death. You can inherit eternal life or you can die. That is the two ways. There's no we all have immortal souls in the Christian gospel. He hath brought life, eternal life, to light through Christ. Man is destined to die, and God has offered some the promise of eternal life. That is the distinction. And certain works manifest. They reveal where we're going. And people who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it is a manifest token of their perdition, of their damnation. It's like, well, Paul, I'm afraid I might have done this. I would say to you to remember the spirit in which everything is said. Jesus said, he that denies me before men will I deny before my Father. Is that absolute? Is that absolute? Because Peter denied Christ before men three times. Oh, but he repented, you will say to me. It says they have never forgiveness. Certainly says. Is it absolute? Well, I certainly wouldn't risk it myself. But you know, God has shown throughout the scriptures and all history, he's willing to make exceptions, you know. He will make exceptions. God makes exceptions. God is strict and rigorous, but he's also merciful. And things done in ignorance, he sometimes winks at. When understanding comes, well, now repent. Now repent. Change your mind. Perhaps God will grant you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and you will enter into life. I would never tell anyone, well, give up hope. Why should I do that? I'd rather build someone up to try to try. I don't know. Maybe God will make you diligent, and maybe he'll forgive you. He says he'll never forgive you. I know. That's quite a steep order, isn't it? It also says a lot of things in the scriptures that, you know, if you do these things, you're worthy of death. If you do these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But all have sinned. But this is especially wicked sin. Now, I would never underestimate the power of a broken and contrite spirit, of humbling oneself before God. God is merciful. People who do this, though, tend not to be the seeking forgiveness kind. But who knows? If you say, you know, like I said, you say, he's prophesying falsely. It's the devil's work. It's not quite the same as blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. It's saying, oh, he knows the future. Sure, that's a true prophecy, but he got it from the devil. That's where you're getting right there. So his family members are outside. Jesus, come out here. Come to us. Family members always think they're so important. And they always want to be like, oh, I'm here. I'm important. Come out to me. Acknowledge me. You're beside yourself. Come out and humble yourself and be with us. It's not that Jesus wasn't humble. I'm not saying that. Oh. People are like, well, your mom and your brothers are out there. They're looking for you. Jesus doesn't move a muscle. He sits there. Who is my mother and my brethren? Looks around. Look at my mother and my brethren. People sitting here. Here's my mother and my brethren. My mother and my brethren seek me. because I am the Son of God, because they ought to seek me. I'm the one who preaches the gospel. I'm the one who has salvation. I'm the one all men seek. It was more important for him to minister to the people who were following him than to those who would seek to get him to follow them. Follow us, your family, whoever does the will of God. That's my brother, sister, and mother. Other people, I don't know. It's not like your mother is sick, or your mother is dying, or your mother needs your help. No, they're worried about you. This isn't a question of honoring your mother and your family, or your mother and your father. He questions who they are. Who is my mother and my brethren? The ones who do my Father's will. Because Christ always came to do his Father's will. He subjected himself to the will of the Father. And that goes back to the other part where their hearts were hardened. You know, he subjects himself to the will of God. God's will is that they be hardened. He subjects himself to it. It doesn't mean he doesn't feel things. And it doesn't mean he didn't love his mother and love his brethren. But he wanted them to believe in him as well. It's very tempting sometimes to treat people special. You know, to get along and to make accommodations for them so that they can stay the way they are. So that they don't have to come with us in the gospel and into the place of Christ. So they don't have to crowd into the room and crowd around at the feet of Christ. It's tempting to sort of play the old game with your family. To act like, it's just like old times. Ma and pa and the little ones. Isn't it great we're all together again? And let's just be like we always were. But it can't be so. The doctrine of Christ causes a division in the family. Because those who follow Christ are living their lives differently. And it's tempting to go back and live your life as they live their life. It's tempting to go back and to cater to their expectations of you. Want you to be just as you were. Don't change. Just be like you were. We're worried about you. You seem different lately. Come out to us. Talk to us so we know you're all right. And his thoughts are, they should be in here. They should be seeking me as well. Same thing with family members who haven't come along in the gospel. I don't want to go out to them. I want them to come into me. Come into where I am. Do the will of God, and you will be my brother again. Do the will of God, and you will be my mother. Do the will of God, and we can have fellowship one with another as a family again. But if you do not do the will of God, how can I accommodate you? Because then I would destroy you, encourage you in the ways of destruction, in your unbelief. This is Christ's way of encouraging them to believe. It's a bit of a harsh way, but I think it's the right way because there's not always just, you can't always just be like, if you act the way people want you to act. A lot of times, then they feel powerful. And they don't feel the weakness or any sort of draw, to change. So Christ plays tough love on his family. And that's the way I see it, is that he wanted them to provoke them to jealousy. That they also would come. They want to be close. You want to be close to me? Then come, get close to me. Do the will of God. Follow me. Don't ask me to follow you.